Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Joining me now is Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Thanks for having me with you this morning.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So we'll kick this off. You are here for a specific reason this morning, and you want to make an endorsement in the district for congressional race between William Timmons, who's the incumbent, and Adam Morgan, who is running against him. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to announce on your show that I'm endorsing Adam Morgan for Congress. Adam has been an incandescent light for freedom in the South Carolina legislature. He's led against wasteful government spending, against the special interests having control of the agenda. And we've had too many of those flaws in Washington, D.C. Adam Morgan will align with House conservatives on privacy votes, on spending votes. And I'm going to be having a rally with myself and Adam Morgan on April 23rd at 6:30 p.m. At the Greenville Spartanburg Marriott, and hope everybody can come. It's free, and we want to share our America First vision, and hope that you'll join me in supporting Adam Morgan.
Now, Matt Gaetz, I know that you are obviously a fan of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has endorsed William Timmons, though. Can you square all this for me?
I love President Trump. I campaigned for him all over the country. What's happening to him is terrible. But every once in a while, President Trump needs a little help with HR. We can do better than William Timmons in this district. I don't believe President Trump has met or knows Adam Morgan. Sometimes President Trump has a tendency to support an incumbent just because they're the incumbent and have been supportive of him. In this case, I think Adam Morgan would do a better job than William Timmons. And I mean, there's nobody fighting harder for the Trump agenda than I am in Washington. And I think the Trump agenda comes into effect with greater force and greater function with great fighters like Adam Morgan.
Matt Gaetz, I want to ask you a question, because during the great brawl over Kevin McCarthy being speaker, I was in your camp the entire time and took a few bruises for it, I'll tell you. I really wanted to see Kevin McCarthy gone, and for years I've been saying he's a cancer on the Republican Party. So I really appreciated you pushing him out the door. But now I'm watching Mike Johnson do exactly what Kevin McCarthy did, work with Democrats to overcome Republican opposition and jam their spending bills through. And this FISA bill, this is a police state that just passed.
Terrible.
It's horrible. Let me ask you this first. We'll get to the bill in a second. Do you regret taking out Kevin McCarthy? Would you say, given what a disappointment Mike Johnson is, that it was worth it still? Where are you on that today?
Oh, definitely worth it. You have to send a shock to the system in order to change it. Kevin McCarthy was totally owned by the lobbyists and special interests of Washington, and he functionally did their bidding. Mike Johnson failed to liberate us from the Kevin McCarthy deal on spending that puts us on a pathway to financial ruin. We have to change that. So even though one shock to the system didn't necessarily change all the things we wanted on spending, on privacy, it did sort of devalue everything that they've done to try to buy the speakership. And sometimes you have to send more than one shock to the system. It's kind of like when you watch those TV shows and they're trying to bring the patient back to life and they use those electronic pads to shock them. Sometimes they have to do it more than once in order to revive what is good. And there is still good in this country that is worthy of revival. And I've seen that in Adam Morgan's very spirited campaign. A lot of volunteers, a lot of events. And that's what we need in this country. We need patriots to rise up and at times to make the challenging decision to run against an incumbent to try to improve the position.
Matt Gaetz, I want to jump into this just shocking FISA bill. I guess we should have read it before we passed it. My first question is this an accident or is Mike Johnson really serious? This is a police state here. I mean, this allows the FBI, the NSA, to go to pretty much any business or even private individual in America, if I'm reading Breitbart correctly this morning, and demand the ability to spy on their customers, their tenants, and they need no warrant to do it. And it comes with an automatic gag order. So the person they're you know, forcing to turn over this information can't even tell the public that the FBI is doing this. And the reaction, the backlash to this has been, I mean, the Heritage Foundation's freaking out this morning. The Brennan Center, which is liberal, is freaking out this morning. Even liberal Democrats, Senator Ron Wyden, saying, what the heck, we can't do this. We can't give this kind of power to the FBI. But then so are people like Steve Bradbury with the Heritage Foundation, Breitbart screaming about it. I mean, how is Mike Johnson, did he not read the bill, or is he a totalitarian who wants to see the FBI in the driver's seat? Can you explain this to me? Why? How did this happen?
Well, it happened because we had a tie vote. If we'd have put a warrant requirement on this FISA bill, it would have been the greatest constraint on the deep state in my 7 years in Congress. We fell one vote short, and thus everyone who voted against the warrant requirement is the deciding vote on that matter. A lot of what you described is current law. The expansion of FISA in this bill that is so insidious deals with public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So if you're on the McDonald's Wi-Fi or the public library Wi-Fi, you have a different envelope of Fourth Amendment protections than people in real life. And that's crazy. We don't have one Fourth Amendment for the digital world and a different Fourth Amendment for the non-digital world. I think that there is it was the most disappointing thing about Mike Johnson, that he went from being a guy fighting right alongside me and Jim Jordan in the House Judiciary Committee on the warrant requirement to someone who fought against it. And people, I guess, are entitled to change their minds. But if someone's going to make such an extreme reversal of their position, I think they're obligated to bring others along. And in this case, Mike Johnson sided with a lot of the people who are uncurious in the national security state about our important civil liberties.
Yeah, this is deeply concerning. I really hope they're able to stop it in the Senate. Why do you think Mike Johnson, I mean, I thoroughly expected to see, you know, standalone funding bills for the different agencies of Congress by now where y'all could actually go in and cut the pork out. I didn't expect to see him doing what Kevin McCarthy did, which is use Democrat votes to pass the Democrat agenda. Why is Mike Johnson doing this right now? It feels like a betrayal.
On spending, Mike Johnson has spent no more and no less than McCarthy negotiated with Biden, which is unacceptable. We should be reducing spending, and we should have, just like you said, just like I've been beating the drum, single subject spending bills. This is not radical. This is what all of our state legislatures do that actually balance their budgets. And the only reason we don't do it is because the lobbyists want their programs not to actually have that itemized review. They want to be able to tuck them in and roll them all up together and then force one up or down vote. I think that Mike Johnson stuck to that system out of muscle memory, and we got to do better than that. And so I need a coalition of people here. I need, you know, tens more of people who will actually fight the system, because if you just sort of, you know, change around the edges, you don't get to that structural change that leads to lower spending, adherence to the Constitution. And how have we not even talked about this foreign aid package yet? This thing is a nightmare.
Go for
spending billions of dollars to foreign countries with no offsets, no reductions in our budget. We already know the money we've sent to Ukraine has not been subject to the end use monitoring to ensure that it doesn't end up in the wrong hands. We've seen former Ukrainian defense officials end up with shoeboxes full of millions of dollars in U.S. dollars at the border. Where do you think that stuff came from? So in the coming hours and in the coming days, I'm fighting against proceeding on these foreign aid bills when we have an open border in this country? We have a spending crisis in this country. Did you know these bills that we're voting on? It's like $14 billion in just not even fighting stuff, but direct support to the Ukrainian government. We're paying the pension of every Ukrainian government official while the pensions of police and firefighters in our country are in question. It is the craziest stuff I've seen, and I'm doing everything I can to fight against it, and I need backup.
Matt Gaetz, why are we so obsessed with shoveling this printed cash at Ukraine? What is the deal with Ukraine? Everybody's trying to understand out here in the hinterland. What is it? Why are they obsessed?
The story in Washington goes like this. Well, if we don't right now send billions more to Ukraine, then Russia, they won't just take Crimea and the Donbass, they'll be rolling in Kyiv, and then they'll take Moldova, and then they'll take Latvia, Poland will fall. It's World War II all over again. I'm skeptical of that. And by the way, I'm kind of worried whether we like it or not. Ukraine's going to run out of men before they run out of bullets. And when I made that argument to a Republican colleague, they said, oh, we'll hire mercenaries. So what, we're going to go hire African mercenaries to go kill Russians in Ukraine as that nation is being slaughtered because we're too unserious to go and create some sort of peace? I mean, I'm for peace. I don't want people to get slaughtered like we're seeing. It's heartbreaking. But I think Donald Trump could have gotten this peace deal before one person was even killed. I think there's a way to acknowledge what's going on in Crimea, that's functionally Russian now, to create a buffer in the Donbass, to ensure that we have a free and democratic Ukraine run out of Kyiv, and stop the killing. But instead, they want to send all this money around because it makes the defense contractors rich, because it creates a money laundering mecca. And that is more important to some than whether or not people live or die.
Matt Gaetz, congressman from Florida, and I am a huge fan of yours. Last question. Is there anything positive trend, something like that, did you see going on right now that you want to tell us about that you're fired up about?
Trump's winning. I mean, I was just reviewing polling this morning, up 6 points in Nevada, up 6 points in Arizona. I think Wisconsin was the only swing state where we weren't ahead, and I think we were about a point behind. And that's being driven by a realignment in politics that is driving working class Americans to the Republican Party. People who go to work for a living, who are tired of the crazy nonsense of the Democrats, who want responsible spending, who don't want us to be trying to like convert every Central Asian cave into a Jeffersonian democracy. Working class people are becoming Republican. We're becoming more interracial, intergenerational. We're winning voters under 30. I mean, that was a key part of the Biden coalition. And now these people under 30, they actually want to buy a car and a house one day and not be renting serfs the rest of their lives. And so that's exciting for us. But none of it's going to matter if we don't have backup in Congress ready to execute the Trump agenda. We had enough Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy Republicanism. And now with people like Adam Morgan fighting along my side, then we're going to be able to make big changes in this country because we'll be better prepared for the second term of Donald Trump than we were the first.
And yes, we amen to all of that. One more quick thing, Mackie, he's got to ask you. You going to run for governor of Florida, though?
It's not my plan. I have tipped over the apple cart here in Washington, and I feel like I want to be a part of building something that's more responsive to the people here. And there won't be much value in what we do in the several states if we lose the country. And I hate to speak in such stark terms as people are driving to work in the morning, but I do think we're at risk of losing this country.
Yeah.
Economically, culturally, socially, and we have to fight to keep her. That's our calling.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, big fan of yours. Thank you so much for stopping by the Tara Show this morning on 98.9 WORD.
This was fun. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Folks, there's an interesting thing the left is doing. And we're seeing this again and again. Laken Riley gets killed, not by just an illegal immigrant, but by an illegal immigrant who had been arrested, who could have been detained, who shouldn't have been out to kill her. That's why that case was such a big deal. So Republicans actually passed the Laken Riley Act, which would require the detention of illegal immigrants who commit crimes, again, on our soil, in addition to illegal immigration. The Democrat Senate has refused to take it up. In the Democrat Senate, Joni Ernst, a Republican, sponsored a common sense bill. Okay, look, we'll let you let the criminals go, the illegal immigrant criminals, the ones who commit theft and assault. But if you kill somebody or cause serious bodily injury, then in that case, by law, ICE must detain you. They must pick you up and hold you if you're an illegal immigrant. Makes sense, right? We don't want people who have committed the crime of murder, either they've committed it and served their time, or maybe they killed somebody in a DUI, they served their time. We don't want them let go. We want them detained and we want them deported. Makes sense, right? Nope. Nope. Even killers, rapists, those who've done bodily harm have to go free. The Democrats in the Senate refuse to take up the bill. Why would you do that? I mean, that said, it's significant political cost to themselves, right? Because they could have claimed in an election year, oh, we're keeping people safe. Yeah, we're making sure illegal immigrant criminals are detained. Those Republicans don't know what they're talking about, but they didn't. They didn't. They struck a blow for the criminals, illegal immigrant criminals. Why do that? Because the Democrats have a bigger goal in mind. They want to erase every single distinction between Americans and illegal immigrants. So if an American would be bonded out to wait trial, say on child rape, then by God, they're going to let the illegal immigrant go too. Now, the difference between the American and the illegal is the illegal first has no rights in this country, but number two, they have a place to run to get away from their crimes. They could go back to their home country. We don't have that here in America because we're Americans. So that's how this incredible thing has happened. This is where they are going. This is how radical they are. This is UK Daily Mail today. Illegal migrant, 20, arrested for child rape. Oh, he's going to be a great Democrat voter one day. Arrested for child rape in Massachusetts after district court ignored request to detain him. So he's a 20-year-old from Brazil, arrested by the Border Patrol in July of 2021 after his mom entered illegally. Okay. Well, he's turned loose, told, you know, to appear for one of those DOJ hearings. In December, a warrant was issued for his arrest in the town of Milford over raping a child and enticing another child under the age of 16. Great guy. Great guy. He's charged with this. He's eventually found and arrested in Portland, Maine, about 140 miles north on January 10, 2024. In addition to the rape charge, he was then charged with being a fugitive from justice. So he's taken to Milford District Court on January 18. He's arraigned on charges, has his bail set at just $5,000 because it's a liberal jurisdiction. They don't care about child rape. Thought he would, he was required to wear a GPS monitor. Okay. ERO Boston, that's the Office of Enforcement Renewal Operations in Boston, requested that he remain in jail until he could be picked up. by immigration authorities. But the court ignored it because it's a sanctuary jurisdiction and released, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth, the accused child rapist after he paid bail. That forced them to hunt him down and pick him up. Finally, they just got him this week near his residence in the city of Lowell. So the way the left sees this, you've got a child rapist. He might rape more children, but that's okay. Because if an American would have been bonded out, then he as an illegal immigrant should be bonded out too. Children be damned. Even though he has no right to be here. Why are they doing this? They are, folks, this works for them. They do these really radical things. And people scream and yell and it makes international news, like right here, as you're seeing in the UK Daily Mail. See, I'm holding this up on Twitter, on the Twitter feed, illegal migrant 20 arrested for child rape. And we scream and we yell and we're outraged, but eventually it gets normalized. Illegal immigrants are treated exactly as American citizens, making American citizenship absolutely meaningless, or making the illegals equal to us. And that's what this is about. So if you're wondering, why would the Democrats ensure that people who commit murder, who commit homicide, rape, great bodily harm, why do you want to let them go in America? Because they want exactly the same treatment for Americans as illegals, so as to make American citizenship meaningless, or so as to make the status of being an illegal in America automatically equal to being an American. This is cultural erosion. This is what they want to do. And that's why child rapists have to go free. Unbelievable. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I got locked out. Oh my gosh. Have you ever done that, Tim? We have like next level security in this building. I've actually had nightmares about that. That I go and I forget my keys.
Oh yeah.
I just did it.
Yeah, I've done it before.
I am so sorry I wasn't sitting here. Oh my gosh, I was like screaming and banging on the door. I can't believe I forgot the keys.
I didn't even hear it.
No, it's because I was on the other side. Oh. I just had a total panic attack. Okay. That is awful, awful, awful. I love the internal security that we have several layers that you would have to go to get, you know, get to me or get to any of us in here broadcasting. But they can defeat the host at times.
Yeah, I've done it once and it was right after I got hired and I felt so dumb.
Yeah, I've had nightmares about that. I'm in the building and I can't get back to the studio, but I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be here. Okay. Meantime, Bank of, well, see, now it's happened. The world didn't end, so maybe I won't have nightmares about it anymore. You ever have that, like those kind of nightmares, like something at work, you're naked or you forgot your stuff or I don't know. Well, I just live mine. So anyway, all right, the show must go on. Attorney General Alan Wilson of South Carolina, good for him. He's doing a lot of good stuff lately. One of the things he's doing is confronting Bank of America. He's one of the co-signers, attorneys general for more than a dozen Republican-led states, detailing, I told you this was coming, how the bank appears to discriminate against Christians, debanking Christian organizations, and some conservative organizations. Not good. So we absolutely need to stand in the way of this. From the letter signed by Attorney General Alan Wilson, it was actually originally written by Chris Kobach, who is the Attorney General of Kansas. Unfortunately, Bank of America appears to be conditioning access to its service on customers having the bank's preferred religious or political views. And they list several organizations, conservative and religious, that have been allegedly debanked. The letter was co-signed by officials from Alaska, Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, South Carolina, Nebraska, Montana, Missouri, Texas, and Utah. Letter notes how the Financial Institute debanked Christian ministry groups. They named just a few of them. They say there are a lot more. Timothy II Project International, Indigenous Advance, and the Memphis, Tennessee-based Servants of Christ. Timothy 2 was told it was canceled by Bank of America for, quote, operating a business type we have chosen not to service. Indigenous Advance, which spreads Christianity in Africa, was similarly told its account was canceled because the bank claims it no longer aligns with the bank's risk tolerance. How is keeping people's money risky? I mean, it's risky. That's why you have banks. You do it every day. Servants of Christ had its account canceled because it was the, quote, it was, quote, the wrong business type, unquote. Bank of America says it's exposing itself to numerous legal risks by engaging. Chris Kobach says Bank of America is exposing itself to numerous legal risks by engaging in debanking and opening itself up to potential legal liability under consumer protection anti-discrimination laws, creating substantial regulatory and political risk from states that are already taking action to stop debanking. And they say this comes on the heels of the Treasury Department and the FBI asking banks to turn over any kind of transaction that, you know, would have put you in D.C. on January 6th, even if you didn't participate in the Capitol riot, or if the Treasury wanted to know if you had bought any religious texts, anything with MAGA in it, or had bought anything from certain gun stores. So we still don't know what the federal government's doing with that information, but it can't be anything good. So good for Alan Wilson for getting in there. Meanwhile, folks, I feel like America is kind of asleep at the switch on this World Health Organization treaty, which, if we're a party to it, technically, at least on paper, requires us to let them dictate when we will have lockdowns, if we will have lockdowns during the next pandemic, if we will be required to get shots, and if we will be required to adopt biometric digital ID, just for starters. Now, Joe Biden fully intends to make us a party to this in May. We've already had several states pass laws saying they will ignore it. They're not doing it. This isn't one of them, naturally. South Carolina always tries to do the Democrat thing first before being forced to do the right thing. But here's what's interesting. Word of this is spreading internationally. Massive protests just erupted in Japan over the WHO pandemic treaty and the very clear erosion of sovereignty it represents. If you look at this video, it's incredible. Tens of thousands of protesters swarmed the streets of Japan over the weekend to stand against the World Health Organization's sweeping pandemic treaty. This truly was an absolutely huge protest. And you don't see this kind of thing in Japan much. It's a very, shall we say, submissive society. So to see these protests there, but not here, at least not at this level, kind of surprising. They do not want to be forced to take mRNA vaccines. They don't want to be forced to lock down, and they don't want to be forced to get biometric ID that is contingent on getting the shots. So interesting that this is going on in Japan and that this is such a big deal in Japan. It kind of makes you wonder if maybe we should be paying more attention to it here in America. Texter writes, meanwhile, Bank of America regularly violates federal banking laws by giving accounts to undocumentable illegal immigrants. Yeah, loans too. Texter writes, hey, Tira, I think there's a way to get around this whole thing with the bank. Do you have your money direct deposited into the bank? You pay for everything on a credit card, and then you just pay off the credit card. That way they can't see what exactly you're buying. Okay. Texter writes, Bank of America has been dirty for decades. Another texter writes, South Carolina has the fourth highest inflation rate in the U.S. South Carolina's 12-month inflation was 3.6% ahead of the April 10th report, according to Analysis Index, Moody's Analytics, blah, 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 USA Today. I'll have to check that out. I don't know. Texter writes, Tara, Americans aren't guaranteed bail. Oh, this is the last one. They Sanctuary City let an illegal immigrant child rapist go, just on principle, because he made bail, even though they could have retained him. They let him run around for a couple months. We finally caught him. Texture rights. Tara, Americans aren't guaranteed bail. We just have a right to not pay excessive bail. Democrats want illegals to have more rights than Americans do. Texter writes, hey, Tara, just let me correct one thing you said, because you said that illegal immigrants are being treated exactly like American citizens. That's not quite true, because it seems like illegals have more rights than American citizens do. There's more American citizens. When they get arrested, they do life in prison, whereas the illegals can beat and kill cops. And just run away. Well, yeah, beat cops, actually. I don't know about killing cops and running away, but at least not so far. But beating them, yes, absolutely. And then be let out the door. By the way, if you have been trying to listen to my Battleground America podcast, I apologize. At the corporate level that we don't control here, unfortunately, our engineering staff has just really struggled to have our podcast work and be downloaded. So they know they have not been on our website. I know a lot of you are having trouble finding the podcast, also finding the podcast of the show. You like to listen to the show later in the day. I am sorry. I do not have an ETA on when they'll have it fixed. I am just tearing my hair out over it. Here's what you do, at least to get the Battleground America podcast. You can always find it on Spotify, Apple, or just go to my social media, Twitter, Facebook. It's always the Battleground America podcast is always pinned to the top of there. So there are other places that you can get it. Besides the website, but right now, no, you're not going to be getting one daily because it's just a mess and they haven't figured out how to fix it. And I am so sorry about that, but we don't have any control over it. So just always go to my social media. You'll find my podcast right there. Texture rates on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Tara, our government wants the WHO to take control. That way, the WHO takes the blame for lockdowns and poison jabs. Yes. And I swear right now they're streamlining in our state government for this health czar to really step into that role once the WHO announces, hey, everybody has to be vaccinated. We're going to do lockdowns. They are setting them up to just go full-on dictator. And I've stopped fighting it. I just give up. Even conservatives seem to support it. And so we'll see next time we have a pandemic. Texter writes, Tara, normalizing illegal immigrants, you mean like referring to them as migrants instead of aliens? Yeah. I love how they say undocumented. That one drives me nuts. It's like they just lost their documents. Like, you know, you had a social security card, but then it fell out of your wallet. Like they just, you know, it's all very confusing. They're undocumented. They're just like you. They just can't find their documents right now, but they're going to look hard for them and probably will find them later. It's just the weirdest word game. Texture writes, Tara, I have a fish and my oddball pet is a bristlenose catfish that swims upside down. Okay, cool. Now, quite a few of you this morning contacting me. You either have a skunk or you have had a skunk in the past. One of you said it was so cute because when the skunk gets surly, it points its rear end at you, but it doesn't realize its scent sac's been removed. Probably a good idea to get the scent sac removed if you're going to keep a skunk. Yeah, just saying. All right. Meanwhile, this FISA bill... And we're going to talk some more about this in the 9 o'clock hour. This FISA bill that the GOP jammed through by one vote contains new powers so terrifying that even liberal Democrat Senator Ron Wyden is vowing to stop it. We have this really weird synchronicity where both the Heritage Foundation, which is very Republican, very conservative, and the Brennan Center, which is very liberal and wants to take your guns, are both freaking out this morning over what's in this FISA bill. It basically allows the FBI to scoop up any electronic communication whatsoever and to force anybody in the private sector to turn it over. So that could be your landlord. That could be commercial landlords who have, you know, newspaper there in their building. That could be commercial landlords who rent apartment buildings. You want to spy on a journalist who lives there. It could be just literally anything. No warrant is needed. No warrant is needed whatsoever. And it's an automatic gag. So before they were just doing this with Verizon, wireless providers like that. Now it's basically virtually any business or business owner.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.